Greetings and good morning, Western Colorado. Thanks for listening to Mountain Grown Community Radio, KVNF. My name is Eric Gould. It's 8 o'clock, and here is your local newscast for Tuesday, December 4th. During the November 6th election, Americans elected more gay and lesbian lawmakers than ever before. And in states like Wisconsin, Oregon, and Colorado, gay and lesbian officials will hold some of the highest positions of power. Benta Berkland takes a closer look at what's driving the change.
In Colorado, the number of openly gay state lawmakers doubled from 4 to 8.
I think maybe the most historic thing about my election as an openly LGBT person is that it's not historic.
Democratic Senator Jesse Ulibarri is one of those newly elected lawmakers.
There are already openly LGBT members serving in the Colorado legislature, and they have opened up the path for so many other folks to come behind them.
Ulibarri and his partner have 2 children, and he says it's important for his constituents to get to know him beyond his sexual orientation and understand he cares about the same issues as everyone else: a strong economy, safe schools, and equal opportunities for all families.
I've also seen the impact that openly LGBT electeds have made on their colleagues just by their presence in the legislature, having people to see what it really means to have protections for the people that you love.
Lesbian, gay, bisexual, sexual and transgender advocates in Colorado see the gains as a way to secure those protections. With Democrats capturing control of both chambers at the state capitol, the likelihood of civil unions legislation passing is all but certain. Democrat Mark Ferrandino, who was openly gay, sponsored a civil unions bill last session that narrowly failed when Republican leaders filibustered it. Ferrandino is now the incoming Speaker of the House.
Colorado last session showed that the leadership of the House was behind the times. The majority of the House was with the times. This coming session, we'll be able to show that Colorado is the state that is about equality, not the hate state.
That reputation of being a hate state started 20 years ago when voters passed a ballot initiative that excluded LGBT people from anti-discrimination laws. The U.S. Supreme Court overturned the Colorado initiative, calling it unconstitutional. Chuck Wolf is the president of the Washington, D.C.-based Gay and Lesbian Victory Fund.
I think what you're seeing happening in Colorado and across the country is that when there is prejudice and discrimination, it eventually falls of its own weight because it's based on some kind of fear or the unknown, as opposed to any real facts.
Wolf's nonprofit pumped millions of dollars into local and national races across the country trying to elect LGBT candidates. He says 2012 was a watershed year, with a historic number of candidates not only running for office, but also winning their races.
I think the increased interest in the LGBT community is knowing that they can have an impact, that they can now participate in government, that public service is open to them. For a long time, public service, including the military, was not open to members of the LGBT community. In fact, there were certain political parties running, opposing the idea. With that shifting and with attitude shifting around the country, you see more and more people willing to step into public service.
And after November 6th, Wolf says the majority of state legislatures now have at least one openly gay lawmaker, and 5 states, including Colorado, have a gay statehouse leader. Still, he says he thinks it'll take another 20 years before being a gay politician becomes so normal it's no longer newsworthy. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
In 2 weeks, Crawford residents will know whether they'll have a new 35-acre gravel pit in their community. KVNF's Marty Derlin reports that the Delta County commissioners took the issue under advisement after yesterday's crowded and heated public hearing on the controversial proposal.
About 75 people packed into a courthouse hearing room on Monday. A third of them lined up to speak against Larry and Matt Jensen's proposed gravel pit next to Crawford's Grandview subdivision, less than a mile from town limits. The Jensens say the gravel pit will support their ranching operation and provide a needed commodity in the county. But the parade of speakers, some who even brought audio and visual aids, expressed a variety of concerns about the gravel pit, including noise, dust, increased traffic, disruption of wildlife, water, property values, and health issues. John Martindale.
I'm just down the hill from this proposed strip mine. The dust produced by a gravel strip mine contains crystalline silica, a known cancer-causing agent, often called the dust of death. Because of this alone, and the proximity of homes to the proposed strip mine, this industrial usage is incompatible with existing land usage in the area.
Real estate expert John Wendt.
You know, it's not just the values of the property for the owners, but it makes it unable, if somebody actually wanted to live in Crawford, to be able to obtain a property in Crawford in the general area of the gravel pit because of the lack of actual zoning and no segmentation of where the industrial area starts and where the industrial area ends.
Many called on the commissioners to follow the county's own master plan. Larry Ribnick from the Grandview Homeowners Association quoted from the document.
The right to develop and improve private property does not constitute the right to adversely impact the property or property value of neighboring landowners. Compatibility should be given priority consideration. In cases where there is incompatibility between an existing and a proposed land use, the property right of the existing use should be given priority.
The county has already been involved in one recent lawsuit over its approval of two henhouse operations. Robin Smith expressed the commonly held view that Delta County is headed for legal problems because of its lack of zoning.
Approval of this application will probably result in litigation. Please do not waste our tax dollars defending a lawsuit similar to the poultry operations that the county will likely lose.
After opponents had their say, Larry Jensen responded, saying he's been a good neighbor thus far.
We're here for the long term. You haven't given us a chance. All of you have seen our operation for over 20 years, and you've seen how we're good stewards of the land. And I think you're taking a very shallow, short view of what's happening here. And I think all your comments are is somewhat to a level of hysteria that I don't think is warranted. Every one of your houses were built with gravel resources. Every one of you have a driveway. Every one of you have a concrete foundation.
There are already 14 gravel pits in Delta County, but most are far from residences. The commissioners are scheduled to rule on the gravel pit at their next meeting on December 17th. For KVNF News, I'm Marty Derlin.
Firefighters are working to keep the Fern Lake fire burning inside Rocky Mountain National Park from reaching Estes Park. The Denver Post reports that about 250 personnel worked on the fire yesterday, with more help on the way. No injuries have been reported, though one cabin has been destroyed. Weather conditions were expected to start helping firefighters yesterday. The Post reports that the fire, which started in rugged terrain in early October, has burned about 4,400 acres and is 20% contained. Denver-based Clarity Media Group, owned by billionaire Phil Anschutz, has purchased the Colorado Springs Gazette. The deal was announced Friday. The agency's CEO will serve as chairman of the paper, and Dan Stever will stay on as president and publisher with plans to expand coverage. Stever says they've already started adding staff in the newsroom and plan to grow it by another 20% next year.
And we're expanding in other areas of the company too. So this is a pretty large investment and undertaking, and it's one that we believe is going to pay off. I've been in the marketplace here now 3 months, and wherever I go, I'm told by people in the community, we want the Gazette to be thicker, we want more stories, we want you to cover more areas of topics, and if you do that, we will buy the paper.
Stever says that includes different platform options, such as online or traditional delivery. Details of the transaction were not disclosed. Pilots landing at the Montrose Regional Airport will soon have a new technology helping them in inclement weather. According to the Federal Aviation Administration, the new next-gen technology improves safety and efficiency by allowing air traffic controllers to track aircraft in mountainous areas that are outside radar coverage. The new technology in Montrose is part of a partnership between the FAA and the Colorado Department of Transportation that began providing radar-like service to mountain communities in 2009. The FAA and State of Colorado expect to complete the project by deploying the same technology around Durango, Gunnison, and Telluride next summer. The FAA says the new system will allow pilots to fly search and rescue missions in weather conditions that would have previously kept them grounded. The Colorado Department of Transportation paid for the sensor site preparation and the system's equipment, power, and telecommunications. The FAA maintains and operates the system. A Norwood resident recently discovered a piece of Colorado's energy past, a deep and aging coal mine. The Norwood Post reports that the discovery prompted the Colorado Division of Reclamation to send out a call for more information on open mines, because there's funding available to close them. The funding comes from a tax on coal in the state. The state of Colorado has closed several old mines in the past few decades, but many remain. The agency wants people to let them know if they have any inactive coal mines on their property that they want safeguarded. The Post reports that the mine recently found caused concern because it had not been discovered during a series of old mine closures in the 1980s. Coal mines also sometimes harbor deadly gases such as methane and hydrogen sulfide. The Bureau of Reclamation is prioritizing the closure of old mines, including coal and hard rock, like those near Ouray. And that concludes your local newscast for Tuesday. For KVNF Mountain Grown Community Radio, this is Eric Gould. Have a great day, and thanks so much for listening.